You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
First up, today on our segment in collaboration with Our Action Station, we're discussing a petition called Regeneration, Not Incineration, for a Zero Waste Aotearoa. Valerie Morse from Zero Waste Collective speaks with me today about the petition and zero waste methods. I began by asking her to tell me a little about the petition.
Well, the petition is a Regeneration, Not Incineration petition, and it really is a petition calling on the government to reject the building of new incinerators.
And so why are these waste-to-energy incinerators not preferable?
The problem with waste-to-energy incinerators, there's a multitude of problems, I guess. So I would say, first of all, there's the kind of health and ecological effects of incineration. So burning rubbish, particularly like household rubbish, which contains lots of plastics, essentially emits a lot of toxic material into the atmosphere. So dioxins and furans, some of the most toxic chemicals known to science. These are cancer-causing particles that essentially bioaccumulate in the human fat cells. So the longer and more that you're exposed to them, the higher the risk of cancer is to you. So dioxins and furans are emitted to the atmosphere. They land in the water, they land on land. Cows eat them, animals eat them, and so they kind of move up the food chain. So there's a kind of health and environmental effects from things like the emissions. And the emissions also include things like huge amounts of carbon dioxide, obviously a major implication for climate change. So waste to energy is more polluting than even burning coal from a climate perspective. So essentially, a lot of waste to energy facilities are really nothing more than fossil fuel plants. So they take fossil fuels out of the ground, they turn them into plastics, and they use them for a short period of time as your butter container or your yogurt container. And then they chuck them into an incinerator and burn up that plastic, essentially burning up that fossil fuel. But in the meantime, they've added heaps of other toxic additives to the plastics to give them certain properties. And so then all of those toxics are also released into the atmosphere. So those are some of the health and environmental effects. One of the things we often hear from people is that, incinerators are better than landfills. But the problem is that, of course, you still need a landfill with an incinerator because you create all this toxic ash. So while you have a significantly reduced volume of actual rubbish, the ash that you have to get rid of is actually hazardous waste that's got heavy metal contamination and a whole lot of other nasty substances in it. So it really isn't an either or there. So the other part of the equation is that building incinerators takes a huge amount of money, and that's money that we think really could be better spent doing other things to minimize our waste. So if you build an incinerator, you have to keep feeding that incinerator 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It never sleeps. And if it isn't fed a kind of optimal mix of trash, of rubbish, it actually is more polluting. So it strangely incentivizes the creation of more and more rubbish. So it's really kind of counterproductive when investment in other kind of infrastructure to reduce rubbish would be far better spent and would be far better for communities.
The petition calls for these regeneration methods instead. How would these work?
I guess what I would say is that a zero waste approach is quite a different kind of approach. So what we're talking about is something called the waste hierarchy. And so the hierarchy starts at the very top with stopping the creation of waste. Waste essentially is a kind of result of capitalism. It's a result of a system which considers that there's some materials that it's okay just to take out of the ground, to produce it, to refine it, and then to discard it, when in fact actually what we need to do is to create closed loop systems, because we actually don't have resources that we can just simply waste, and we don't have anywhere to put so-called waste. Like, there isn't any place on planet Earth that really should just be discarded. So zero waste systems are really not about kind of big techno fixes. They're really about systems changing, so stopping the production of waste at the source So we stop producing things that actually can't be meaningfully reused and genuinely recycled. So not downcycled. So, you know, we've got a lot of really bad projects that say, oh, don't worry, we can recycle this plastic object and we can take it, we can crush it, we can put it into roading or something like that. These are all really bad ideas because they continue to pollute and fundamentally they aren't actually recycling. So a really good example of recycling is something like an aluminium can that can be turned into an aluminium can over and over and over and over again without any loss of quality. But more importantly, that we want systems that actually reuse things. So, you know, lots of, probably not so many BFM listeners, but lots of older people will remember things like the milk bottle collection systems that used to be widespread throughout New Zealand. People would have milk literally delivered to their door every day in refillable glass bottles. So refilling things and reusing things is where things are at, because even though you can, for example, recycle an aluminium can over and over again, it continues to require more energy to produce that. And energy is something else we need to conserve. We simply don't have the time and the resources to continue this kind of gross and exploitation and despoilization of the environment that's been going on since the sort of inception of capitalism, but certainly of colonialism in Aotearoa. You know, prior to 1840, Māori essentially had no idea of waste. Everything was used and it was either able to be composted, so turned back into organic matter into the soil, or reused and recycled. So those are the kinds of systems that we need to be building. And there's some really great thought happening around the stuff around what's called the donut economy or the circular economy, ideas about living within planetary boundaries. But these waste incinerators, you know, they're often sold as a kind of solution to the waste problem. And there's all kinds of greenwashing around these that makes them sound like a really fantastic idea to get rid of the waste and deal with this problem and take it out of our way. The problem is that it actually doesn't deal with any of the problems. It creates a whole set of new and different problems.
You mentioned specifically stopping this waste at the source, which is a very company-driven business. Do you think the government has to put pressure on these companies for them to listen?
Oh, I think it's absolutely incumbent upon government not only to put pressure, but to create some of those systems. You know, from the zero waste perspective, we would be saying we need to ban whole classes of materials that simply cannot be recycled. So in New Zealand, for example, there's whole classes of plastics and materials that are used that at the end of their life, you cannot do anything with them. You cannot, you know, composite materials in particular are really difficult to deal with because once you mix a whole lot of stuff together, particularly if you mix organic materials and inorganic materials together, it's almost impossible to separate those out. So when you mix organic materials and inorganic materials and that kind of stuff goes to landfill, it creates methane in the landfill, which is one of the most aggressive climate changing gases. So we would certainly say that not only is the regulatory environment necessary to create kind of zero waste systems, but we would like to see the government invest in zero waste infrastructure. So for example, bottle washing facilities across the country, to mandating standards so that, you know, there is a limited number of choices that companies could make for how they went about selling their product. You know, every time you go and buy a beer or a fizzy drink, you're not buying the packaging. You're not buying the glass bottle or the plastic bottle or the tin can or whatever else. You're trying to buy what's inside of that. And yet somehow as an individual consumer, you're left with trying to figure out how you can, you know, do something with this container so it's not going to end up causing more environmental destruction. Individuals are not the problem in this case. You know, individuals cannot be left with the responsibility of cleaning up corporate rubbish. Corporations need to be brought into line. Businesses have to adopt these kind of circular economy principles and essentially design waste out of the system. So meaningful ways. And that's ultimately going to require the government to take those kinds of steps. And some of that stuff is happening. Some of that stuff is happening at central government, but not nearly enough.
I mean, obviously there's a lot more that we could go into about zero waste methods, but is there anything else you'd like to say just in regards to the petition?
Well, what I want to say, I guess most importantly, is at the moment, there are three live proposals for major waste incinerators in New Zealand. And I think listeners need to understand, like, there's one in Te Awamutu, which is, you know, just south of Hamilton. This would be a massive project of burning 160,000 tons of waste a year, including 35,000 tons of tires and about 35,000 tons of plastic. Like, this is a major piece of infrastructure that would pollute a vast area, including Auckland. There's another proposal down in South Canterbury in Waimate talking about burning 350,000 tons of waste. So it's like, this is an environmental struggle, an ecological struggle, a health struggle, a race, anti-racism struggle. You know, like, oftentimes the communities that are most affected by these kinds of facilities, certainly overseas, New Zealand has no waste incinerators, are poor communities, are communities of color, because they are often seen as disposable communities. You know, so when we're talking about these kinds, these are multifaceted struggles, but I encourage people to read the Zero Waste petition, Regeneration Not Incineration petition, that's on Action Station. And if you have connections to those communities, to read a little bit more, there's a number of local groups that have popped up to fight these incinerators. There's another incinerator proposal in Fielding, just outside of Palmerston North. So these things are popping up all over the place, and they are a real threat to an actually sustainable kind of way, future, you know, focused way forward for dealing with waste and the climate catastrophe.
That was Valerie Morse from Zero Waste Collective discussing the Regeneration Not Incineration petition, which you can find on ractionstation.org.nz.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.